Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 38 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, Sam has just gotten back from a great trip to Walt Disney World. He's going to share with us some firsthand information about the FastPass Plus system, about Star Wars weekends.
And stick around till after the show. Sam brought back a couple great audio clips.
So before we start really talking about that, I wanted to talk real quick about last week's show. We had Yeehaw Bob on, and it was a great interview by Sam and Jimmy. And we had one of our listeners send us an audio feedback message about it. Jeff Roney from over at the Once Upon a Time podcast, that's the podcast about the show from TV, sent us this audio recording about what he thought about the show last week, and we want to play it right now. So here it is.
Hey guys, this is Jeff Roney from the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, and I just want to congratulate you on a great interview with Yeehaw Bob. He is a great performer. I've seen him, and we're so used to Disney getting such top-notch performers, but Yeehaw Bob is one of those just magical times, and whatever he does, there's just so much fun and just so much creativeness in what he does. So thank you for doing such a great interview with such great points, and it's just going to be a great thing to point people to and say, if you've never heard of Yeehaw Bob, you need to listen to this interview. So great job, guys. Great podcast. Thanks so much for all the information that you guys bring. I know you guys care about folks that are going to be visiting the park, and it shows. And so take care, guys. Keep up the great work. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, Jeff, for giving us that feedback. It was very cool of you to send that in, and anybody can send us something, and we're going to read it on the air. If you send us a audio feedback or even just an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, we'll make sure we get it on the show.
R2, light speed to Endor!
Let me introduce Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Hey, Ed, it's going fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to have you back, although it seemed like we were kind of with you on this trip.
Which was a great thing.
Oh, it was. We used our technology skills this weekend, and we kind of experimented with live streaming. So with Sam's help and his iPad, we were able to kind of experience some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. So it was a really, really cool weekend. Unfortunately, Jimmy won't be with us tonight, but we figured Sam's going to do most of the talking anyway, and we wanted to get this show recorded. So we're going to go ahead without him for tonight. Although I'm sure he'll be listening, and I'm sure we'll see him on the Facebook page, in the Disney Nerds group.
So, I get accused of doing all the talking a lot, but that's okay.
You've got a lot of good things to talk about.
Ed, let me ask you, have you been watching the World Cup?
I have. I actually checked out a little of it tonight for the first time because the Americans were playing. It was a really good game in that they won.
So if you happen to be visiting Walt Disney World and you have that itch for World Cup soccer, right, because it's only every 4 years this happens and it's huge, what are you going to do at Walt Disney World to watch the World Cup?
Well, I'm sure you're going to tell us, although I think I know.
Absolutely, I'm going to tell you. So one of the things that I noticed while I was at Disney World, which, by the way, I arrived Thursday night the 12th and left Saturday the 14th. In that range, the Disney Parks blog posted a couple of interesting news bits. The first was about the FIFA World Cup ESPN headquarters, which is the Odyssey restaurant over in Epcot. So have you ever been in the Odyssey?
Oh, yeah. We were over there for the annual pass holders when they gave us the chips last year.
This is the building that's usually empty, where there's a restroom and the child care center between Test Track and Mexico. Right? So if you're not familiar with it, it's that big building, and I've been in that as well. In fact, I remember the old dance review they had in there way back in the late 80s when I first visited Epcot.
Oh, wow. No, I couldn't even tell you about that. I knew it was a restaurant at one point, but other than that, it's just closed up and they use it for special events. It's a cool building.
It is, and it's decorated with flags from all of the countries that are participating in the World Cup. And I'll tell you what else is interesting. At Epcot, the Flower and Garden Festival is over. They're taking down, and all the topiaries are gone. The plants are slowly, and flowers are slowly starting to disappear. They're taking down the playground. But they left a topiary that had been there for the Flower and Garden Festival. And that's directly behind Spaceship Earth. The Goofy soccer topiary is still there. So these guys planned before Flower and Garden Festival to have the Goofy soccer topiary become part of the World Cup celebration, and that's exactly what it's done. So you can still take your picture with soccer Goofy. There are balls around with all of the countries, and that sort of leads you right over to the World Cup headquarters.
Okay, now, do you have to be an annual pass holder, or do you have to be staying at a hotel or something to get in there?
Absolutely not. It's open to the general public. Now, I will say it's only opened while games are happening, so it's not open to all the time. Now, there's a pamphlet that you could get at your resort or at guest relations that shows you all of the scheduled game times, which go through June 26th. But then, of course, that will continue all the way through July 13th and the World Cup finals as they get to the round of 16 and beyond. And that's really just the start. So when you get that pamphlet, it tells you all about the great celebration of this World Cup Brazil. ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC will be broadcasting all 64 games. So there's your tie-in to Disney, ABC, and ESPN.
Sure.
They advertise watching it in your room, give you the channel numbers, talk about the WatchESPN.com app and that you can watch it on your mobile devices while you're in the parks, and also listen to it on ESPN Radio, AM 580 AM. So it's quite interesting. Then they list the locations where you can see it. Viewing locations, you pick the resort, and there's a location in that resort to watch the World Cup all over. You name it. Obviously, the Odyssey Center, Downtown Disney, at select bars and restaurants. I'm not even going to read all the resorts because they're all here. There's also limited edition World Cup merchandise. How about that?
Surprise, surprise.
Now, that merchandise is obviously all around World Showcase, and you can get country-specific merchandise in Mexico, Germany, the Village Traders, and a handful of others. And, of course, mouse gear, and in the Odyssey itself.
So now I wonder if the price goes down once that team's eliminated from the competition.
So most of the merchandise was your top-tier teams, right? A lot of Team USA, a lot of the other top tiers.
Sure.
There was also some snacks in there as well. Mickey pretzels, a handful of sandwiches. And they also had, the first time I'd seen outside of Animal Kingdom, the Animal Kingdom Lager, which I thought was interesting. That's the draft beer that's only available at Animal Kingdom. And it was available there as well, which was interesting. So World Cup, you're covered if you're a World Cup fan and you're headed to Walt Disney World. Ask for one of the pamphlets. Lots of cool stuff happening in there. Now, the lodge itself I should talk a little bit about because there's couches and TVs and big screens and lots of areas to hang out. And I got another little tip. There's a whole bunch of outlets inside there. So if you're looking for a spot, grab a beer, grab a drink, sit in a couch and plug in your phone, that's the perfect spot to do it.
Oh, nice.
And when it rains, it's a good place to be. It's the time of year when it rains every day in Disney World. Yeah. One thing I found interesting, while I was in there, they're using satellite. There was a big thunderstorm, go figure, in the middle of the day in Florida. and the satellite went out. They actually had planned ahead of time, and they started an internet stream that was able to deliver the game. So the game stopped for a little bit, and they picked it up with another feed. The same quality, but it was still on, and it was still live.
Sure,
so
everybody and that's all that counts. And they tried to do something. That's awesome. They had a backup. So you had the Odyssey restaurant that was all decked out like a big living room so you can enjoy your beers, charge your phones, watch
exactly.
The games. Did the countries have anything else going on besides just the merchandising?
Yes. So there was a Test Your Soccer Skills Challenge back near Germany. Now, I will say that it was a torrential downpour, and I was in the lodge with a beer, so I didn't make my way back to Germany. So I can't say by firsthand experience, but I expect that this is in the area that for Flower and Garden and Food and Wine is the German pavilion, the beer garden. So go visit Soccer Goofy. Go check out your soccer skills and have a great time with the World Cup. But that was just a bonus of why I was down there, right?
True.
I went for a completely different reason, not to watch the World Cup. Got in Thursday night. The first thing I did is headed over to Port Orleans Riverside to see our friend Bob, especially after coming off of last week's show when we interviewed Yeehaw Bob. That's where I pulled out the good old iPad, did my best to not be that guy holding it up. So I made sure I found the nice spot where I could place it, prop it up, and we used live stream to go ahead and stream some of that show. So that was quite enjoyable. And it was fun for me being on the other side because I could see the dozens of people commenting on what was happening, and I thought that was great.
Oh, no, that was incredible. I was involved in that, and Jimmy was involved, and we announced it on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page and the group page. And we tried to get as many people involved as possible, and it was great. It was actually like seeing Yeehaw Bob with a bunch of friends.
Absolutely. And he mentioned last week on the show that he's updated some of the sets. And I'll definitely say if you didn't see the live stream or haven't seen Bob in a couple of years, he's definitely updated the portfolio. He's saying Grim and Ghosts. He's saying Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. The SpongeBob theme is still in there. It's great to see everybody singing along. And the one I found the most interesting, because I recognized it right away, I have a song from a cartoon that I think you all know. And he starts playing it, and all the parents were sort of looking at each other, and all the kids just started singing. It was the theme from Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, sure. So everybody knows that.
Well, not all the moms and dads. I know I don't know it. I know it starts. There's 100 and mm-hmm. How many days of summer vacation? Something you would know.
101.
I don't know how many days.
There isn't really, though. We kind of put it to the test. It's not that close.
But it sounds good.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just remember, giving a monkey a shower. But anyway, we'll move on.
No, and I did remember hearing a bunch of Pixar stuff, too. So that was kind of new.
Yes. He also did Frozen.
Yes.
He played Let It Go.
Yes, he did. A good rendition of that, totally.
He played it, he sang the first few lyrics, and every girl in the place was screaming it. So that's one of the early shows when the kids are there. So I don't even think he had to sing it because it was so loud.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he has a couple songs like that, too. And you brought up a good point about that was in the earlier show. And yep. This is the first time I've actually had a chance to see all three shows. And it does get better as the night goes on, is all I have to say. Now, is it true as far as Bob mentioned last week how the seats kind of clear out as the shows go on? Did it get less crowded?
Absolutely true. Yes, absolutely true. Which is why the view on the live stream got better, because I was able to move to some seats that had been occupied.
Right. I was going to say, you ended up in the front row then for the second set.
You got it.
Perfect. And something else that was really nice from that video, which is something I hadn't noticed before, so maybe this occurred in the last maybe year, was that Bob had been awarded the... What's the name of that award for the Disney cast members that do great?
The Walt Disney Legacy Award.
Right, right.
Which is the highest level of achievement a cast member can achieve for displaying Walt's ideals and virtues and values.
Sure. Now, a lot of the people involved on the windows on Main Street are all Legacy members, and it just continues on. It's a great type of award, and it's very well deserved. But it's mounted behind the piano, so it was pretty cool because that definitely stood out with the vantage point Sam had earlier on. So,
When you see Walt's portrait, it's something that sticks out to a Disney nerd.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So that was really cool, and we want to do that again. And so the next time any of us will be down there, we'll advertise it a little bit to let people know that we're going to do this again, because we're going to talk about something else Star Wars-like that we did it also for. And it... We had a couple bugs, but I think it worked out pretty well.
For the first time, I think we did well.
Oh, no doubt. Considering how well we know IT and how well IT doesn't do what it's supposed to do when it's advertised, yes,
yeah,
I think we did really well. I think we did okay.
Bob was sort of the icing before I really started, I guess. I'm not sure how you put that. But that I planned my trip, it was all about Star Wars weekends. So, the Hollywood Studios... Select attractions, and in the first group of attractions, where Toy Story Mania typically is, there were Star Wars Weekends events. So I was able to pre-select for some of the shows that were happening in the Premiere Theater. So I had an option of the Behind the Force the Stars of the Saga and the Obi-Wan and Beyond presentation, which stars James Arnold Taylor, which is pretty cool. You could fast pass one of those. But if you did, that counted for your one Group A fast pass, and then you needed to select two from the second group, which I took Star Tours every time because it's Star Wars weekends, after all. And then, honestly, there wasn't really anything I wanted outside of that, but I had to pick a third item, and I really couldn't figure out how to say I don't want the third one. I just want these two. So I felt kind of bad, like I had been given a fast pass that I wasn't necessarily going to use. I'm sure they'll work that out.
What an odd problem to have, though. Who would have thought of that beforehand?
Well, absolutely. And I know that's not the norm, but I'm sure any annual pass holder or local, that's going to happen to them all the time. They just want to go to do one thing.
Right.
I'm going to go see Festival of Fantasy. I'm going to get a fast pass. The other two, whatever.
Let me ask you this, though. If you had a chance to trade in the level two items, so that would be two fast passes for one level one, would you have done that?
Absolutely. I would have taken two of the premier theater shows and forgot about the third one altogether.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, just wondering.
Absolutely. So I made my selections. In this case, I took the James Arnold Taylor because I was doing a research trip, air quotes that you can't see. and it's a show that I can't really get the family into. They just don't seem to. So I did it. And I recorded the whole thing, and it'll be on Sam's Disney Diary.
Oh, awesome.
Because it was great.
And let's take just a second, too, because if you haven't realized that Sam's Disney Diary has been the Star Wars weekends many times.
Yes.
Pretty cool to see the natural progression of Star Wars weekends, too, through Sam's videos, because he has he definitely has 2012 up there, 2013. Do you have anything before that?
I have video. I don't know that I made it a Sam's Disney Diary, but.
Gotcha. So it's really cool. I was watching that the other night, and you definitely see the differences and the changes that have gone on between the years. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he puts together for this trip.
Yep. I'll have more than one show, that's for sure.
Oh, cool.
So all of that led to getting into the park, which apparently doing the annual pass and booking it through this system where I was able to make my FastPass Plus selections does not tie itself directly to the system that lets you into the front gate. So I had to jump through some gyrations, and I needed to find out where the ticket was, and it took a lot longer than it should have. Let's just put it at that.
So that was to activate your annual pass?
To activate it and allow it to work at the front door. It just wasn't... You know, if anybody's used the magic plan, when you tap it, you're looking to place your finger and it turned green. Well, it was blue. And whatever it meant was that I did not have a valid ticket for the park that day, which guest relations eventually sorted out. So the moral to this story is take your confirmation number with you. Until you get through the door, make sure you have that.
They
found it for me because they had the credit card that I had charged it with.
Oh, right. I agree. And even with dinner reservations, take the confirmation number with you. Now, everybody with their smartphones and the apps and things like that, it's pretty much handy. But in the day before that, I would always have it written down, because if they couldn't find your reservation when you came up to them, as long as you showed the confirmation number saying that it was at that time, that was almost golden. In that they almost sometimes would even stop looking for it and just get us a table. So the confirmation number carries a lot of weight for whatever it is, a dinner reservation, your ticket number for when you're trying to get into the park, even the tours. Have that confirmation number with you. It helps out a lot.
So even before going to guest relations to get that sorted out, as soon as I arrived at Studios, on the right-hand side are the FastPass kiosks for celebrity autographs, which was a paper FastPass. It was the old system.
So this is in addition to the three you've gotten on your band?
This is in addition. So this is every weekend at Star Wars Weekends, they have celebrities that do autograph sessions. Every weekend's different people. Every weekend sort of has a different theme. Now, for the fifth Star Wars Weekends of 2014, the theme was really the Clone Wars, which was somewhat bittersweet, which I'll talk to in a minute, because the Clone Wars are wrapping up production as things shift over to Star Wars Rebels. So the cast was all together, but you could tell there was some bittersweetness to that because it was one of the last times they may be together. So the celebrity autographs this time were James Arnold Taylor, who is Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Clone Wars, Matt Lantern, who's Anakin Skywalker, Tom Kane, who is Yoda, Catherine Tabor, who is Padme, Steve Blum, who I'm not exactly sure. Actually, he's part of Star Wars Rebels. How about that? Mm-hmm. And Dee Bradley Baker, who is the voice of every clone trooper because they're clones. So Rex is how you know mostly. So by the time I got there, which is maybe 20 minutes after the park had opened, James Arnold Taylor was gone. Everyone else was available. So they actually gave me two fast passes, one for two of the different people. Which was cool. So I got a fast pass and a wristband. So I had two wristbands on in addition to my magic band and a paper fast pass. These are just your standard event wristbands for autographs.
Well, and tell us the specialty about the bands. I saw a picture of it, but tell us exactly what I'm talking about.
So I'm in the park. I get in the front. There's a few things that I like to do headed in. And one is to check the Disney Parks blog. And in checking the Disney Parks blog, I noticed the first day it was available is the morning that I was there, the limited edition Star Wars Weekends Magic Bands, available only at Darth Small collector's area. So these are Magic Bands, and the first time that they have come out with character-specific Magic Bands. There's two of them. One's red, and it's Darth Vader. The other one's green, and it's Yoda. Now, I, of course, had to get one, so I went straight to the line and thought, I'm here on a day that there's limited edition merchandise. I'm going to get it. Then I found out it was $40, but, you know, we can talk about that later.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
So think about that for a second.
I saw the picture of that online.
Yeah.
And I hear what you're saying, and I get excited about it, and in the same second, I get kind of scared. I get scared in that the whole Vinylmation thing kind of rears up in me again, or the pins, or something that's just going to get out of control if they have a different band for all these different events, and the ones you can buy on your own, and then the ones they're sending you when you stay at the hotels. Like,
yep.
You're wearing three bands before, this is a little excessive.
So I bought my brand new Darth Vader Magic Band, which really looks cool. The box was even cooler that it comes in. It's Star Wars Weekends 2014, limited edition of 2,500. Well, that's 2,500 Darth Vader, then there's 2,500 Yodas too. So there's a whole bunch of them. And when I purchased it, they basically took my existing Magic Band and copied it onto the new one. Or as I like to say, did you just clone my Star Wars Magic Bands? The cast member didn't quite get it, but I thought it was
very appropriate.
It was funny. So now, and it did work because that's the first thing I'm nervous about. So now I have three a Magic Band and two wristbands on my right hand, and I have my Darth Vader one on my left hand. So now I have two Magic Bands I'm wearing. So now I'm not sure who, if Disney geek or Star Wars geek, well, that doesn't matter. Either way, it's a nerd.
No, you show as much as you can.
Now here's what's cool about the Darth Vader Magic Band in these limited editions. When you go to the Fast Pass return machine and you scan your band, you know, you get the green light and the little beep goes off. When you tap the Darth Vader band, the light turns red and you can hear Darth Vader breathe, and then it turns green. So it's really cool.
So that's the little machine that you're tapping against that changes the colors.
That's correct. The
awesome.
Machine you tap it against when you go, only when you do the Fast Pass return. It doesn't work at the entrance. I don't think they want red flaring at the entrance, but at the fast pass returns, and you can hear him breathe. I don't know what the Yoda one does. I bought Vader.
Oh, very cool. Now I can see that going a lot of different ways with all the different attractions. That's going to be really interesting.
Yep. So then, of course, walked around Star Wars Weekends. A couple of things I noticed different than previous years. Well, obviously, we talked about on the show that Darth's Mall had moved. Now it's back next to Toy Story Mania in that hot set location that's in the same building as Toy Story. So it's a little smaller, which means going to Star Wars Weekends, I had absolutely no reason to go down Sunset Boulevard. Which I mentioned that because if you're going to Disney World and you're not going to Star Wars Weekends, it doesn't impact that side of the park at all. In fact, everything is sort of back near Star Tours around Echo Lake and back to where Darth Maul is. There's not much in other places of the park. It means there's a lot available for Rock and Roller Coaster. I would think so. And even Toy Story Mania.
True.
One of the other big things I noticed, this location's a lot smaller merchandise-wise. But in prior weekends, the Star Wars Weekends merchandise was only available on the weekends. And you could only get it in Darth Maul. So you had to be there Friday, Saturday, or Sunday to get Star Wars Weekend merchandise. That absolutely is not the case this year. You can get it everywhere. There's Star Wars Weekend merchandise inside the Muppet store. you'll find it everywhere, right? So that wasn't a big issue. In fact, even the Magic Bands, the first day that I purchased it, the second day it was available in other stores. You could actually get the Star Wars Magic Bands in the Muppet store. But lots of great Star Wars merchandise. You name it, you're going to find it. They had fan wraps, which are these stickers that you put on the side of your car, which is pretty cool. So they had a bunch of cars around the park with these stickers on it, like a green car with Yoda and a black one with Darth Vader and some stormtroopers.
How big were the stickers? On the windows?
No, actually, like the whole door. The whole door of the car with a big Darth Vader. I'll put some pictures of it up. It's interesting, to say the least.
Sure.
But it doesn't say Star Wars Weekends. And a lot of the merchandise doesn't say Star Wars Weekends. There's the T-shirt and the pin, but there's not a – you know, I'm after Star Wars Weekend merchandise, not something that I can get at Walmart.
Right. And I think what they're doing is they're getting set to keep this stuff on sale after Star Wars Weekends are over, maybe.
Absolutely. I'm almost positive it'll be around.
Sure.
Now, another cool thing, the limited edition Magic Bands were there, but they also had some new T-shirts for that weekend. And they were Father's Day themed. So there's I Take After My Dad, which is a picture of Darth Vader, and The Galaxy's Best Dad, which is another Darth Vader, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, there's always something really nice that they come out with new.
Yep, and this was new that day, which was cool. Inside of Darth's Maul, there's the Ackbar Snack Bar, which is the first year they had that, with the nice Admiral Ackbar animatronic sort of sipping his drink of choice, which they didn't say it was, out of one of the Stormtrooper mugs, which were new this year.
Did you get one?
I did not. I resisted. I have an R2-D2 mug from a few years ago because the Stormtrooper mug was right next to the Darth Vader popcorn bucket,
mm-hmm.
which I have an R2-D2, one of those from a previous year, so I didn't, but yeah.
Oh, sure. Maybe priorities.
I got my Magic Band. I mean,
yep.
Yeah. $40 on a Magic Band, $15 on a popcorn bucket. You got to draw the line. The Darth Vader cupcakes were there. The Yoda cupcakes were there. You know, some of the now annual events at Star Wars Weekends, those two cupcakes, which are really cool.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, sounds great. Now, what were some of the events you attended? Can you give us a couple minutes on each of those?
Yeah, sure. So quite a few events happening here, right? And they're really broken down to two things, the premiere theater and the stage, which, by the way, I swear every time I go to Hollywood Studios, the stage gets bigger. It just feels that way. It gets bigger. I swear it. Now, one of the cool things here, and I'll get a picture of it up as well, in the rafters of the main stage in front of the hat, there's a hidden Millennium Falcon.
Oh, cool. Really cool. Yeah, definitely want to see that.
You have to look for that. It's up there.
Where is the theater you're talking about?
The theater is in the back. It's the old Hunchback of Notre Dame Theater. So it's sort of behind Muppet Vision.
Okay.
I don't know what was in that. I think it went from Hunchback show to nothing.
You see, now I remember the Hunchback. I remember the Hunchback show being on Sunset before it was the Beauty and the Beast show. So I must have missed it when it was down at the other place.
Yeah, it used to be down in the back. So it's the best way I can describe it is the exit of Muppet Vision near where the Phineas and Ferb and Cars meet and greet is now.
So back in the alleyway on the way to the Italian restaurant and the Christmas store?
Sort of back that direction. So if you headed down Streets of America,
right.
You make a left on, is that San Francisco Street?
Mm-hmm.
That'll take you straight to it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's right there, back there in that corner, the Premier Theater. So that is where they do Behind the Force, Stars of the Saga, and the Obi-Wan and Beyond. Basically, they're talk shows that you sit through. Obi-Wan and Beyond, starring James Arnold Taylor, is all about the life of a voice actor. So he is many more things than Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he goes through them all in a really funny and comedic way, pulls out some impressions, and it's really a great thing to sit down and watch. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Stars of the Saga is more of a talk show interview style, where all of the celebrities I talked about were sitting and James Arnold Taylor was asking them questions. And that's really the bittersweet moment I was referring to, because they did a lot of reminiscing about the show. They worked on The Clone Wars for 9 years. There were 6 seasons, but a lot went into that. And a lot of them are waiting to find out what happens to some of their characters and whether they'll be part of Star Wars Rebels. So there were some jokes along those lines. And Star Wars Rebels was the other. Now, I did not get to attend this one. This was a detailed look at the new series coming to Disney XD.
Gotcha. Now, the two shows you attended were on two different days?
Actually, no. So if you look at the schedule, those shows, Star Wars Rebels at 1:45, Stars of the Sagas at 3:30, Obi-Wan and Beyond's at 7 o'clock. So you could get to all of those. The queue gets pretty long.
And that's what I was going to ask you. So you had Fast Pass for one of them, so you had to stand in line for another.
Absolutely. And I did. And that was okay. The line is essentially the old Muppet Vision queue, which is behind Muppet Vision.
Oh, the alleyway.
All the way in the back. And I'm back there going, wow, this brings back memories, because I think I remember waiting back here. All the old movie posters of Miss Piggy and Kermit on the side are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. No, that whole area is really, really a fun place. We only just discovered it like a year or two ago. And, of course, I had to be the nerd and take a lot of pictures and do a blog post on it.
Wonderful. We should go check that out over at the Maz blog. Love it. Now, those shows are happening, but there's also stuff happening at the main stage. So the event stage, they have the Padawan Mind Challenge, which is a family-oriented trivia game. On Saturday, they had a conversation with Dave Farini, who's the executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. So he's moving from The Clone Wars to Rebels. And then the DJ dance party, and that's where the Center for the Symphony in the Skies were. And, of course, Jedi Training Academy is very popular with everybody. So get there early if you're going to do Jedi Training Academy.
Now, that's only for the kids, correct?
Yep, that's still only for ages 4 to 12. And there's a lot of kids in that age group at Star Wars weekends. Let's just put it at that. Now, something I did that I am extremely happy that I did. We talked about this on the show, and I decided at the last minute I'm going to do it. There were two special packages happening at Star Wars Weekend. One was a VIP package, and the VIP package basically got you a front row seat to every one of these events. Because if you look at the schedule, they literally run the celebrities from the premiere theater to the stage to sign autographs, to the premiere stage theater to the stage. They're back and forth constantly. And there's no way that you could see all of these things if you needed to wait in the line or you're going to be in the far back of presentations. So that VIP package was part of that. I didn't do that. That was too expensive. What I did do is the Feel the Force premium package. So this is one of the best events I've attended in a long, long time. What this did for $55, so it wasn't super expensive, which is why I did it, it got you a VIP viewing location for the parade and for the Symphony in the Sky fireworks. So a dessert party. If you've ever participated in a dessert party at Illuminations or over Wishes, very, very similar. Now, it starts with the parade. The parade's at 11:30. This is the celebrity motorcade where all of the celebrities are in their cars and they come down and get on the stage and then you do a great little show, everything that's going to happen through the day. Have a great time at Star Wars Weekends. That's another thing that James Arnold Taylor does. Now you get to check in, which meant another wristband. So now I have three on my hand with two magic bands.
Right.
But don't cut this one off because you're going to need it again tonight. Now the parade viewing, if you're looking at the stage right in front of the Sorcerer's Hat, it's on the left. So that entire area on the left-hand side where the parade would come around and go, well, actually it comes up Hollywood Boulevard because they're bringing the celebrities from backstage up to the stage. The cars stop, they get out and go up onto the stage. So you're sort of on the left-hand side of that happening. One of the cool parts was included in this were drinks and refreshments. Now, for this parade viewing, it was, you know, regular sodas. You're talking a full bottle of, you know, Coca-Cola or Sprite or water. So I had a bottle of water. And the refreshments were Mickey bars.
Oh, nice.
Get any better? So, yeah, I'll have a bottle of water and a Mickey bar. Sure. Absolutely.
What time was this parade?
11:30.
Okay.
So the heat just starts, right? That's when you start to feel the sun. But in the case when I was there, that's also when you started to see the clouds roll in. So it started to get really at about 11:30, right when the parade's about to start, to the point that it absolutely let out a downpour right before the parade was supposed to start.
Oh, beat.
Yeah. So as we decided which direction we were going to go, I was with a couple of other people at the time. They handed us some certificates for free drink and popcorn at one of the locations and studios later in the day, which is great. So I grabbed one of those while we were boating out of there. Now, I had no dining reservations. It was just about lunchtime. Everybody's running for cover. I'm standing near Min and Bill's Dockside Diner. In fact, that's where the check-in was for this event. So where do you head to if you're hungry, you're getting soaking wet, and you got to get out of the elements? Because I'm turning around, looking at the 50s prime time, and going straight to the bar.
Right. Okay, good. That's
right?
Perfect.
Which, by the way, nobody else had thought of that initially. There's plenty of seats at the bar at 11:30. They're just starting their lunch crowd. Sit down, have a drink, and guess what? The full menu.
That's right. That's right.
It's perfect. It was absolutely perfect. So we sat there. I had my dad's meatloaf, which I absolutely – it's great, just like Mom's, and it's done raining.
Perfect.
Your Florida storm. Now, unfortunately, they canceled the parade, which they needed to do because if you look at the schedule, the celebrities needed to be other places. There was no way they could delay it. But that was okay.
Right. So the compensation now for the paid front row seat for the parade was the popcorn and the drink later on.
And the drink later on. But remember, I already had a bottle of water in my hand and I had a Mickey bar or maybe two before it started raining.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's not bad, right? $55. But remember, this is the parade. We did this for the fireworks.
Right, which I'd rather have the front seat for that.
You got it. So, of course, the whole time I'm thinking, fingers crossed, I sure as heck hope that it doesn't rain for the fireworks because there's no guarantee here. Now, what I learned is if it had rained, which it didn't, they move this package and this dessert party inside of Hollywood and Vine, and they do it there.
Okay,
so you would still have the package. There's just no guarantee that you have fireworks if the weather's bad.
Right.
Now, this is where the thing gets cool. Headed back after watching the 7 o'clock Obi-Wan and Beyond starring James Arnold Taylor, the fireworks at 9:30, you know, sort of mill around a little bit, lots of meet and greets, lots of Star Wars characters, you name it, lines all over the place. Longest line was Chewbacca and Darth Vader. So if you're headed and you want those pictures, get those early. Although Chip and Dale as the Ewoks had a nice long line too, which is kind of cool, I guess. Depends on what you're going to do, right? Some people go and do nothing but those character meet and greets, and that's fine by me. Headed into this Fill the Force dessert fireworks package. You have on coming up to the stage, on the left-hand side, there is a roped-off area that's the front of the stage all the way over to the left so that you can see behind the Sorcerer Mickey hat. Tables, chairs – well, no chairs. I'm sorry. There's tables set up. There's bars set up. There's desserts set up. And these desserts were awesome. In fact, they were incredible. Little mini desserts, so not huge. So they're little, so you could have more than one, right? So the desserts were things like lemon tart with raspberry puree. C-3PO was creme brulee. There was a Naboo Gungman City, which was Rice Krispie bonbons, which are shaped in little spears, almost like planets. Jabba the Hutt was pretty cool. It was a cane syrup-infused carrot cake. And I'll tell you what, it tasted just like a carrot cake cookie in a little bowl. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Chocolate salted caramel Ranton bars, Yoda's chocolate crunch cupcake, the Darth Vader cupcake. And that was a little version of it, but it was the same.
Right.
The Mickey ice cream bars were still there. Adult beverages like the Jedi mind trick and the Force and the dark side. That was all cool.
What kind of drinks were they?
All right. As far as drinks go on the adult beverage side, which remember, this is part of the package. So this is all you can drink. So they have some nice big pictures of the mix, and then they're putting the shots of whatever alcoholic beverage goes in it. So any of those could come non-alcoholic if you wanted it that way. The Jedi mind trick, was rum, peach schnapps, and a passion orange guava juice, which was pretty good. So I had a few Jedi mind tricks. The Force was citrus vodka, lemonade, and blueberry. The Dark Side, Bailey's, Kahlua, and coffee. So I'll drink if it's a little cool outside, which it wasn't.
Right.
And the kid options are basically that passion orange guava juice. That's what the Padawan is. And lemonade with blueberry is the Ewok.
Sounds good.
It was very good. Great night. The one thing that if they do it like this next year, there's a small show that starts it off where James Arnold Taylor introduces the different characters. And they have the heroes and the rebels and the Empire. They come out and do – it's nothing like Hyperspace Hoopla. So it's an introduction. You get to see the characters. They stay in their in character the whole time. But here's the part that you need to know about. If you're in the VIP section, you're right in front of the stage. As soon as those fireworks start, you can't see them right in front of the stage. So everybody does a beeline to the left along the rope that's keeping the VIP section roped off all the way over to try to see the fireworks. Now, if you watch the live stream that we threw out for this, you'll see that I sort of left the stage before that was over because I knew that was going to happen. I also had my camera set up in a place where it wouldn't get interfered with. But the fireworks were incredible. Really good.
I was really impressed. Now, where were they shooting them up from? I mean, it looked like right behind the hat, but I can't imagine there being enough room to do that.
It wasn't right behind, but some of them, which didn't come through in the live stream, it was almost the 360 feel to them, where there was just a lot of fireworks almost all the way around you. I don't know how far back they went, but I don't know if you're back by Catastrophe Canyon or somewhere back in that area. That's the best I could think, but I really don't know where they're coming from.
Okay, so they are pretty far back. Like I said, it looked like everything was right there. So yep. Pretty impressive show from what we saw.
It was an impressive show. It was a great show. It's not Hyperspace Hoopla. I have a soft spot for that, and I miss it. But it is a great show, great fireworks. I think a better viewing area would have been somewhere on Hollywood Boulevard. I also know a lot of people mentioned that the Animation Courtyard was a really good place to watch them because there's not a lot of people back there. Everyone's around the stage.
Okay, well, that's good to know because you always want to be in front of the stage thinking that's the best spot, but you're right.
There's a lot of people jammed in there.
One quick question also for you is how crowded was your event? Like how many people were behind the rope?
The event was not crowded. It wasn't. In fact, there were people on the outside of the rope asking about it. Oh, if I'd known, I would have gotten in there. So I wanted to make sure everybody knows next year if they do this, it's definitely worth the price. Most definitely. Now, the fireworks were at 9:30. So they were over 10 to 10 maybe. Is that when they wrapped up?
It was kind of close to that, yeah.
And I mention it because the second Fantasmic was at 10 o'clock. Had I planned it right, because you know that second Fantasmic is never full, there's always room in it, you could see the fireworks, the Star Wars fireworks, and go catch the last Fantasmic. Because 10 minutes you're down Hollywood Boulevard when you're in that theater. So they timed the Star Wars fireworks between the Fantasmic shows is what they did.
Gotcha. One of the other big events you did this weekend was your Galactic Breakfast, I think it was called?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what I did the next morning, and this was all based on availability and not being able to get into it the first day. But we talked about the new character meals for Star Wars. One of them is the Galactic Breakfast over at the Sci-Fi Dine-In, which was awesome. It was great. Now, price-wise, it's about the same price for an adult as that dessert party, and I'll take the dessert party any day because of the Jedi mind tricks, but that's a whole nother story. The breakfast is good. It's a character meal. So think Cinderella's Royal Table if you've been there. You walk in, you meet Cinderella, they take a picture of you with Cinderella, then you go and you have your meal and the other characters come around. So here, you get to the sci-fi, and as soon as you walk in, right, everybody's outside waiting. Normally in the sci-fi, you wait inside. Once you're inside, there's Darth Vader and Boba Fett.
Oh,
both
perfect.
Waiting to take a picture. So the fast pass photographer's there. They take a picture of you with Darth Vader and Boba Fett. That's the only time you'll see the two of them. Then they escort you back into the 50s prime time, which is now the Galactic Breakfast. And absolutely incredible walking in there. You walk in, there's stormtroopers, four of them all over the place. Greedo's in there. There's some Jawas running around. It's just really cool to see all that. Then to top it off, there's Star Wars clips playing on the screen.
Oh, perfect.
Which was really cool. So you got some interesting clips that they played. Some were take the first, well, I say the first three episodes of Star Wars, but you know what I mean, episode 4, 5, and 6.
Sure.
And condense them into about a 7-minute montage that just gets you through the entire 4, 5, and 6, which was really, really cool to watch.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to have to check out YouTube. Maybe somebody videotaped
it. I might have the whole thing.
Oh, perfect.
So another cool thing they showed, and I couldn't believe they did, from 1977, the Star Wars Christmas special. The cartoon was in there. They ran a clip of that.
Oh, cool.
Now, the one thing I will say about the breakfast, it is a fixed price. This is a character meal. So typically, think about it, your character meals are buffets of some sort, except for Cinderella's Table, probably the only other example. But typically, you're going into Crystal Palace or you're going into one of them where it's a buffet, Chef Mickey's. In this case, there's really no place to put a buffet inside of the sci-fi dining. The entrees were great. In fact, it starts with Star Wars pastries where there's some, you know, Darth Vader-shaped turnovers and R2-D2 things. It was really cool. All the pastries were Star Wars themed. Then there's an appetizer. You can have some yogurt or some seasonal fruit. We skipped that because the waiter made it clear that you could get as many entrees as you wanted. Sort of like being on a cruise ship.
Nice.
Which I thought was great, right? Yeah, anything you want. Because my question was the Dune Sea or the Kessel Run, which happens to be smoked salmon with scrambled eggs or beef tenderloin with baby spinach and bacon. And his answer was, why don't you have both? That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
That is
both really good.
That is absolutely my favorite line on the cruise ships is when you have that dilemma, that's the first thing the waiter always tells you is, well, try both. I'll bring them both out. Excellent.
Yes.
Very cool. So you did that?
Did that. I did both of those. Then I asked about the shrimp and grits, which I just couldn't eat them. That's the Akbar surprise. There's an Imperial Delight, which is French toast, a Tatooine sunrise, a Mos Eisley's morning. It's really cool the way that they've done those up.
Oh, yeah. They definitely took advantage, creative advantage of that.
Yeah, they did. The only thing I'll add, right, the stormtroopers are your basic picture. So is Greedo, although he'll get in the pose. You know, I asked him who shot first. He didn't want to talk about it, that kind of stuff. But the Jawas were really cool. You got two little Jawas, and they got their little bag, and they like to barter with you.
Oh, cool.
So they will come and find – they'll look at everything that you have, and they'll try to trade something with you. Right, and they're really meticulous in hiding what they have. They won't let you see it, blah blah blah. And they advertise this on the screen. And our hostess, who sat us, sort of told us about it. She said, "You might want to look through your bag to see if you can find something you could trade, right? Because you know anything, it doesn't matter. You're talking about a paperclip or something."
Right, right.
So I happen to have a dead AA battery, so that was perfect. So now my goal through the whole time I'm sitting there is to try to get something good from my dead AA battery, telling them that it's, you know, a power converter and all that kind of stuff. And they were interested in showing me things to trade.
Oh, how cool. What'd you trade?
And the best I could get was a Chuck E. Cheese token.
Oh,
but
okay.
I took it. They wouldn't give me what I wanted. I wanted the Mickey Mouse pin, but no. He wanted my tripod for the Mickey Mouse pin.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty valuable.
But that's sort of the thing they were doing. I'll take that. But they would just look up right over and pick up your camera and try to trade you for something for your camera. Like, yeah, it was great though. It was really fun. I loved it.
Oh, awesome.
I would do that again.
Very cool. You like to hear good things like that.
Then I had to go home.
Yeah, well, unfortunately.
Well, actually, I didn't. I will say the Galactic Breakfast, it was a later reservation. But after that, I was able to see the parade because, remember, the parade's at 11:30. So I saw the parade the next day, which wasn't the day I had the VIP package. But I was able to see the introduction, took pictures of everyone. And so it still worked out. And then I had to head to the airport. So.
Right. Real quick weekend.
Real quick 2 days.
But really incredibly, you did a lot of stuff.
I did a lot. So, you know, the question that my kids had when I got home, so did you ride the mine train? And they didn't believe me when I said I never even got to Magic Kingdom. I'm honest. I didn't. I got to Epcot and I got to the studios and that was it.
That's sometimes in those quick trips, you have to pick and choose.
Yeah, absolutely. So can't wait to do it again.
Awesome.
So that's what I do. Start planning the next trip.
Right. That's the way. That is totally the way. Okay. Well, you sounded like you had a great trip. Thank you so much for all that awesome information about Star Wars Weekend and even about the soccer, the World Cup information, because that's going to be going on for at least another month.
Yeah, it's going on till into July. So, yeah, and I know there's somebody out there going, oh, where am I going to watch a game? Now you have an option. Hey, I'll go charge your phone and watch the game.
I know. I mean, both of those things combined with the beer and the air conditioning, it's got to be incredible in there. So thanks for listening to show number 28. We really appreciate you guys sticking with us and listening to our show. If you have a chance, please, and I really hate to even ask this, but if you have a chance, go over to iTunes, rate our show, leave a comment if you could. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to check out my blog is themazdisneyblog.blogspot.com.
And for more Star Wars Weekend's news, make sure you check out samsdisneydiary.com. That's the blog. But more important, there'll be a bunch of stuff on YouTube and things coming here with the Disney Nerds, all Star Wars Weekend's related. So much information to share with you guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.
Okay, guys. We'll see you later. Kungaloosh.
I did bring back some audio from Star Wars Weekends. Probably a good place to start is the Legends of the Force Motorcade and Celebrity Welcome. So at 11:30 each day of Star Wars Weekends, the celebrities for the weekend, when I was there, it was the voiceover actors for the Clone Wars. They're introduced being led by the 501st Legion, which they're probably a podcast in themselves. A group of Star Wars enthusiasts that dress in attire, you name it, the Rebels, the Empire, Stormtroopers, Clone Troopers, AT-AT drivers, all the way down, Tusken Raiders, you name it, they're in this parade. At the end of the parade, the celebrities are introduced. They come down Hollywood Boulevard in a convertible. That convertible stops, and then they get up on stage, and there's a little show. Then after that show, the celebrities get back in those convertibles and come the opposite way down Hollywood Boulevard and are whisked off to their first event. So if you miss the first parade, you can catch the second parade, which is when they return. And in fact, most people don't know that the celebrities come back through, and it's a great opportunity for photographs. What you're about to hear is that second piece. It's much more condensed than the full parade. We'll use that parade for some park audio at some point. But here is the retreat of the celebrities in their convertible motorcade headed back from the main stage to their first.
Star Wars Weekends is a celebration of the entire Star Wars saga. And today, we are thrilled to be joined by some of Star Wars' greatest superstars. Leading the way for our visiting Star Wars celebrities is none other than our very own Jedi Mickey Mouse. Next, the creator of Her Universe, and from Star Wars The Clone Wars, the voice of Ahsoka Tano, Ashley Eckstein. Next, we have the talented voice actor behind Zed in the upcoming Disney XD animated series, Star Wars Rebels, Steve Bloom. Next, the versatile voice actor behind the voice of Captain Rex and all the clones in Star Wars The Clone Wars, Dee Bradley Baker. Next, the lovely and talented voice actress behind Senator Padme Amidala from Star Wars The Clone Wars, Catherine Tabor. Also from Star Wars The Clone Wars, the voice actor presentations and locations, where you can see our celebrity guests and all your favorite Star Wars characters. We hope you enjoy your day at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And may the Force be with you.
So that gives you an idea of the parade setting, the voices. You could tell where I was standing. I was right on the corner of Sunset and Hollywood Boulevard. You could hear the bell in the background for the stop and go sign. Now, just before that happened is when the presentation on the main stage happened to sort of kick off the day of Star Wars Weekends. That's led by James Arnold Taylor. James introduces all of the characters. They speak a little bit. There's lots of bounty hunters on stage. We'll have some video of that at some point on Sam's Disney Diary. But what I wanted to do is listen into the introduction by James Arnold Taylor of all of the events that were happening. Then we'll come back and talk about a few of them. So let's take a listen.
This is the moment you've been waiting for, though, when I sing to you about all the shows, right? Weekends are here now, so let me tell you about the shows. Hey, we have got some fantastic shows, some amazing guests. You want to go to the Premier Theater and right here. In fact, come back here later for... Padawan Mind Challenge with Ashley Eckstein. It's the family edition of the Padawan Mind Challenge. So get your family together and battle those Imperial forces. Yes, it's... Padawan Mind Challenge with Ashley Eckstein. Stars of the song and talk show is at the Premier Theater. You don't want to miss a thing when I interview them. And the Jubilee show is super funny too. We get stars, we get talk. It's a Star Wars talk show. Stars of the song and talk show. It's a super Star Wars time. But wait, there's more. Why? Because you want to see Ashley there when she takes you behind the bus. Oh yes, of course. Come learn how it's all done. Go behind the scenes and you'll learn new things when you go behind the bus. And you do not want to miss this. How many people are looking forward to Disney XD's Rebels? We got Steve Bloom here with Ashley. So go behind the bus.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only help.
Obi-Wan and beyond. Hey, if you want to learn the ways of a voice actor, then come to my show at the Premier Theater tonight at 7 o'clock. It's called... I'm going to take you behind the scenes of my life as a voice actor. Get about 200 different voices. Tell you about all the fun things we do in TV, video games, movies, all that stuff. Right?
Yabba-dabba-doo, Fred Flintstone.
Johnny Test is totally awesome. Lego Spider-Man, Ratchet from Ratchet & Clank, Tidus from Final Fantasy X, I'm even a Strawberry Mini-Wheat.
I'm of course Jedi Master Grogu.
I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yes, it's Star Wars Weekend, but there's even more. Tonight you'll see a symphony in the stars. A fireworks finale seen from afar. This is it, you're true and you are. There's good guys and bad guys and lots of... Okay, this is the moment you've been waiting for. Get your cameras ready, all right? Get your cameras ready, all right? We've got all these amazing Clone Wars characters here. Rebels, all this is awesome. Get your cameras ready. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. You're going to shout out your biggest and best Star Wars Weekends, and we might see what's going to happen, all right? You guys ready?
So where do you start after you listen to this presentation? There's just so much happening. I did get audio, video of just about all of these presentations, which we'll share at some point through the Disney Arts Podcast, through Sam's Disney Diary. I don't know how yet, Ed. There's just so much to cover. Where do we start?